That was 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. I'm going to be sharing this message today about why are people not obeying the gospel. And yes, I am going to get up there eventually, but I got some things I want to say down here close to you. First of all, I'm going to be sharing four facts with you that pertain to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share two of the facts here at the beginning, and I'll share the other two at the end of our lesson to conclude our lesson. Fact number one is that we're sinners. All have sinned. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. That's fact number one. If you've ever been disobedient to your parents, you have sinned. If you've ever had a wrong attitude and hatred in your heart, you have sinned. If you've ever had lust in your heart of any type of nature, you've sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. But the gospel, the literal translation of the word gospel means good news. That's the definition. And the good news is that Jesus Christ, fact number two, Jesus Christ died for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, Christ died for you while you were still a sinner. And so those are the two first facts that we're going to share as we begin our lesson about why are people not obeying the gospel. Now, obviously, there are people that do obey the gospel. We've had several here in the last year that have seen their condition before God and have made that decision that, yes, I'm going to obey the gospel. They let it be known at different times, whatever time of the night or day or whatever time that they made that decision, they made it known, I want to obey the gospel. I want to be baptized into Christ. And the accommodations were made. And they rejoiced, and they continue to rejoice, and we continue to rejoice with them and their family, but most of all, God and His angels rejoice. The fact is, we all need to obey the gospel. There are three classifications of people that we need to think of. First of all, aliens who to receive salvation need to obey. Backsliders need to restore their salvation, and those that are faithful need to maintain their salvation. Now, Cole read for us there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and looking at specifically there in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Let's make it very clear. It's very sad but true that not all are going to obey the gospel. That's just a fact. It's hard to understand why anyone would not do that, considering this text. I don't believe that those of the world truly understand what this verse means and that accept that for what it is. There are five reasons that we are going to discuss this morning why people are not obeying the gospel. And I want to say to those of you who are old enough to understand what sin is, are old enough to understand what Christ did for you, and understand the importance of making a commitment with your life to Jesus Christ. If you're understanding the words that I'm saying, then you're old enough to understand what the gospel is all about. And there are five reasons that, there may be more, but there's five that we're going to talk about why people are not obeying the gospel. One reason may be just plain ignorance. Ignorance means not knowing. There are three categories of ignorance that we're going to discuss this morning. First of all, people are ignorant or not aware of their true condition. They may be an alien sinner. The Bible talks about their condition in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. It may be someone has obeyed the gospel, but whatever has happened in life has caused them to backslide, as kind of to not be as faithful as they once were. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, gives a very sad illustrations about a dog returned to its vomit and a pig returning to the mud after he's been cleansed. And that is how God sees those who are backsliders. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, the Laodiceans are described as those who are lukewarm, and they're ignorant of their true condition before God. It may be that someone is ignorant of their greatest need. You know, we're all aware of the needs that we have in this life. We need shelter, we need clothing, we need food, we need water. Those are material things. They're temporal in nature, but they're important to sustain life here. But there are those who are just not understanding their greatest need is to be in a covenant relationship with God. People think of material, immaterial, temporal, social terms. People think of health and wealth and happiness. People think very little, sadly, about being saved and going to heaven. And I'm hoping that today that we give a little bit more thought to that. And those who have not obeyed the gospel will give a whole lot of thought to that. It may be that people are ignorant of God's will. It may be that they may be in a place where they just haven't been taught. The Ethiopian eunuch was in that condition. He was riding down the road, going from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He was wanting to know the truth. He was reading Isaiah. He was reading, trying to understand. He was reading things out loud. That's what I do sometimes when I'm trying to read something and I can't understand it. I'll read it out loud. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch was doing. And Philip heard him reading from what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. And then it was the perfect scripture for Philip to explain to him about the Christ. Apollos only knew the baptism of John there in Acts chapter 18. Then Aquila and Priscilla kind of pulled him to the side, explained to him the baptism of Jesus Christ. So it may be that there are those who just don't understand, are ignorant of God's will. They may not listen. They may not read. It was told us in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that the Bereans were not more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. They sought those things out. And the Thessalonians apparently did not do that to the level that the Bereans did. And that was pointed out by Luke in Acts chapter 17. And it may be that people are just ignorant of God's will because they're deceived. And I'm afraid to say I believe that's the majority of the world. They're just deceived. They don't know. Because there's so much false doctrine in the world. And it just muddies the water, it confuses people. And sadly, so many people are not going to come to the knowledge of the truth because of all the false doctrine that's out there. And that is so sad. So it may be that we're just ignorant and don't understand the gospel. It may be that people are just indifferent. There's two things that I, as a school teacher, that I can't do a whole lot about, and it really irritates me. And that's apathy and laziness. When students don't care and students are lazy, I try to do everything I do to make my lessons engaging and try to make sure that they're learning what they need to learn. But if they don't care and they're lazy, and I don't get any support from other sources, there's not a whole lot I can do. It may be that people know their condition before God, but they just do not care. How sad that is. It may be that they know their need for Jesus and for obeying the gospel. They know what they need to do. I don't care. It may be that they know what God's will is, but they could not care less. That's so sad. I hope that's not the case with anyone listening to the lesson this morning. I hope that that's not your attitude, that you just don't care, because your soul is at stake. Eternity is at stake. You need to care. God wants you to care. God wants you to think seriously and soberly about the condition of your soul. It may be that people are not obeying the gospel because of ingratitude. For the riches of the goodness of God that's talked about in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It may be ingratitude for the unsearchable riches of Christ that we could have in obedience to the gospel that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. I hope that we understand what Jesus Christ did for us in leaving the glory of heaven to come in all His glory, in all His, and I know this is not a word, but I'm going to use it anyway, all His godness, and come down and be a human being. That's really, when you really think about that, that's unfathomable. It boggles the mind what Jesus did for us. And to allow His creation to spit in His face, to ridicule Him, to beat Him and to make fun of Him and say and bow down and mock Him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and all these things that He endured, and then He died on the cross. Just because He loves us. While we were yet sinners. It boggles the mind. Do we have gratitude? Are we thankful for what Jesus did for us? We need to obey the gospel if we truly are thankful for what Jesus did for us. I believe this one to be the most prevalent among the folks that are here. And that is indecisiveness. We're going to look at a few scriptures that go along with this one in just a moment. Because sometimes it does take a little bit of courage on our part to let somebody know, "Hey, I want to obey the gospel." But we know in Revelation chapter 21 that among those who are thrown in the lake of fire is the cowardly. Christianity is not for the cowardly. If you're going to be a coward, Christianity is not for you. But I want to encourage us all to take courage. Tide had a very good lesson months ago, about take courage. We can take courage in Jesus Christ. We can come to Him. And sometimes it's easier just to continue to study and to learn and to find things and to keep searching, but never take a stand. And that's talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. But I want to look at three examples in the scriptures of people up. It's easier to uphold. Let me back up. Let's say this right. It is easier to hold up a decision than to uphold a decision. Let me say that again. It is easier to hold up a decision than to uphold a decision. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're turning, and we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're talking about when Elijah was on Mount Carmel in the contest with the prophets of Baal. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. Love this story. Love the challenge that Elijah throws down here with the prophets of Baal. But notice what he says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. He says to the people, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." The people were being very passive here. They were just, maybe Baal's God, maybe God is God. Very passive. They were not wanting to make a decision. They were holding up a decision. And then we know what happens with when the fire comes and consumes that and makes it abundantly clear who is the true God, and that's Lord God Jehovah. I want us to also look at what Joshua had to say to the people back in Joshua 24. Very familiar passage, but I still want us to look at it. In Joshua chapter 24, and right before they were to, right after they had taken the land. And Joshua gives this speech to the people and about the importance of the decision to follow after God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How wonderful it would be for someone to stand up and say this morning, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to serve the Lord. Everyone else can make their own decision, but I'm going to follow God. I'm going to obey the gospel. I'm going to commit my life to Christ. Turn with me one more passage in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 24. And this was when Paul was speaking to Felix. And in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Paul's on trial. Paul's freedom, so to speak, his life, physical life, was in jeopardy. What's Paul doing? He's preaching the gospel. That's what he's doing to Felix. And this is what it says in verse 25 of Acts 24. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Felix decided at that moment, I'm going to put that decision off. Now, we do know in the next verses that Felix had more conversations with Paul about this topic. But we have no indication that Felix ever obeyed the gospel. Felix had that opportunity. Felix's heart was pricked. Like the folks in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 7. Their heart was pricked. But he decided, I'm not going to do that right now. He was very indecisive on that. If what I'm saying to you and you have not obeyed the gospel is making you uncomfortable, that's a sign that your heart's being pricked. I want you to be uncomfortable. Peter and the Holy Spirit wanted the people in Acts 2 to be uncomfortable because of what they had done in their sin. He wanted them to do something about that. Jesus Christ wants you to do something about that this morning. Don't be indecisive. If you understand what I'm saying, you need to make a move this morning. Don't be indecisive. One more reason that people are not obeying the gospel is because of their involvements. It may be their involvements in sinful habits. Maybe lying, foul language, drinking, drugs, lust. Their habits that they have made in their lives and the involvements in their. They're just not willing to break those. It is hard to break sinful habits. I'm not saying it's easy. But with the power of Jesus Christ and with prayer and with just an unrelenting effort, it can be done. Sinful pleasures is involvement in sinful pleasures. It's hard to forsake. Moses was referenced in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 25. talking about Moses, the Hebrew writer says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We need to understand that sin is pleasurable. Otherwise, what's the appeal? But it's passing. It will not last. It's not eternal. And then afterwards, regret, guilt, and other consequences come along with it. It may be we have sinful attachments. They're hard to abandon. You'll remember in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, when the rich young ruler was just not willing to give up the attachments of his riches to follow after Christ. And Christ knew that. And that's what he put before him. He says, sell all you have and come follow me. He went away sorrowful. We have no evidence that this young ruler ever came to Jesus again. I hope he did, but we don't know. It may be because of sinful relationships that are hard to sever. It might be a sinful occupation. It might be a sinful marriage. It's tough when people get into situations that they're in an unscriptural marriage. But I've known of people who have given that up, that have had to end a sinful marriage just so they can have a relationship with Christ and to be obedient to Him and understand that this life is temporary, but our soul continues. It's going to continue either in the glories of heaven or in the pits of hell. There's no in between. So those are our five reasons. Is one of those reasons why you have not obey the gospel? Whatever reason it is, put that aside. We must not allow anything to keep us from obeying. I do want to look at two more scriptures, then I'm going to share those last two facts with you, and then we're going to sing and pray that someone will respond to the gospel. Let's look with me two more scriptures. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. There's a couple of scriptures here that Jesus really wants to drive the point home about how awful and terrible that hell is, and that nothing or nobody is worth losing our soul over. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Mark, very familiar passages. We've read them before, but I want you to really drive into our hearts here. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Verse 37. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Turn over a page to Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 47. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than to having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. I'll share with you two more facts. I already told you the first two. First of all, we've all sinned. Fall short of the glory of God. Number two, Christ died for you while you're yet a sinner. Number three, you're going to die. That's a fact. You're going to die. It might be today. It might be 50 years from now. It might be tomorrow. You're going to die. That's a fact of life. That comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed a man once to die. And of course, the rest of that verse goes with our fourth fact, there's going to be a judgment. You're going to stand by yourself before God. I want you to visualize that in your mind. You're going to stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans chapter 14, verse 10. That is a fact. I want you to really consider, to really think about the things that we said this morning. And even if you don't, if you remain indecisive this morning, I'm hoping that the Lord wills that there will be this afternoon. 256-466-3774. Call me, I'll meet you at the building. 466-3774. If it's late at night, I'll come, won't I? I'll come, and we'll baptize you into Christ. But I'm hoping that you're not indecisive and that you'll decide right now while we stand and while we sing.